You're listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim. To find out more, go to calvaryanaheim.org. And now, here's Pastor James.
We are in 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 12. We're going to finish up this chapter. And really, we're springing from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, because we're still on that series for our mission and our vision as a church. And we're planting here at 1 Peter 4:10 because it's just so critical, so important for us to really get our hearts around this. God would really have us to grab hold of this and understand that our role is important and that the role of other people within the body of Christ is also important. And so 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift or a charisma, a work of grace, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold or various grace of God. Grace of God. And so as each of us have received a gift, we've said yes, we've opened it up, we've seen what's inside, and we perhaps didn't understand it first, but we say, thank you, God, and then we take it out and we use the gift that God has given us to edify the body of Christ, to bring him glory. Amen? So we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We looked at Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at Romans chapter 12 on this. And again, now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we talked about how there are gifts, ministries, and activities. And in each of these, there's variety. So you have gifts, various gifts, and then each of those gifts, there's various ministries involved. And then in each of those ministries, there's various activities or energies. So there's lots and lots of variety in the body of Christ. We talked about how to some it's been given a word of wisdom, others a word of knowledge, others faith, others healings, working of miracles, prophecy, and discerning of spirits. And then we come down here, and I don't even have the verse recorded here. Is someone looking at it? You're in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Is that verse 10? Yeah, I got a thumbs up over here. Thanks, guys. Verse 10. So to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. I want to take some time to talk about these giftings tonight, to give us some understanding of them. There's been a lot of misunderstanding. There's also been some abuse when it comes to this kind of thing. But there's also been neglect when it comes to this kind of thing. So we neither want to abuse gifts of the Holy Spirit, nor do we want to neglect the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul really is addressing this very thing here in 1 Corinthians 12. As he's saying, hey, there's all kinds of gifts, varieties of gifts. But guys, you're overemphasizing the gifts and you're missing the point. You're forgetting who's behind the gifts, the gift giver. And you are forgetting that the gifts are to edify the body, not to make yourself look cool and awesome, and not to divide each other. And there's not one of us in the room who's better than another, or whose giftings are more important, except for in the moment, the gift that's needed the most. That's the most important gift in the room at any given moment. But anyway, we're talking about tongues here. And you know, in language, you think about language, it's an agreed meaning assigned to certain sounds or combinations of sounds, isn't it? It could involve writing or gestures. But speaking in tongues is different in that it is when your spirit prays. Paul clearly says this in 1 Corinthians 14. You will pray with understanding and you will pray with your spirit. Your spirit prays. And that's what's happening when we're exercising the gift of tongues. And so we don't understand what we're saying, but the activity of speaking in tongues results in self-edification and or the edification of the body of Christ. So I want to share with you what the scriptures say about the gift of tongues, and also my view on and my understanding of the scriptures as we look at it. And as I look at the scriptures, I see three uses for tongues that are different from one another. And the first use that I see of tongues is found in Acts chapter 2. So you can turn with me to Acts chapter 2 as we're going through this. And the use that I see here is that it is given as a sign, a sign. The Apostle Paul also mentions this in 1 Corinthians 14, that tongues is a sign. And so let's take a look and see how it is a sign and who it is a sign to. So we're in Acts chapter 2, we'll be starting at verse 1, and this is the day of Pentecost. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Pentecost is that 50th day after the first fruits, the day of first fruits, which is the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, it says they, that's the disciples, there were 120 of them that were meeting, they were all with one accord in one place. And here we find automobiles mentioned in the Bible. They were all with one accord in one place. And then verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues or cloven tongues. So you picture the hoof of a horse or something, a cloven tongue, these tongues of fire. They see them, and it says, and one sat upon each of them. So they came, and they were, boom, they sat upon them. Now, this is so fascinating because, you know, in the Old Testament times, when they dedicated the tabernacle or they dedicated the temple, Solomon's temple in particular, and the tabernacle that Moses had built, when they dedicated it, the presence of God came. They did sacrifices in the dedication for the forgiveness of their sins and things like that. And God said, I accept these sacrifices. And he showed them by showing up. He came in the form of a cloud and he entered into the temple. And the Bible teaches us in New Testament times that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That individually, God dwells in us by faith, but also collectively as the church, the body of believers, those who've received Christ as our Savior and have been adopted into his family, we become his dwelling place. He inhabits the praises of his people. He's here with us, and he's in us. And it's a beautiful thing. And so we see the glory of God, the kabod. The glory of God, that word is a Hebrew word, kabod. When the glory comes, it's a weight of God's presence that comes. And here, the weight of God's presence is coming upon them as they hear this mighty rushing wind and these cloven tongues of fire come and rest upon them. This is a powerful moment. This is the moment that Jesus said, hey, you wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come, and he's going to fill you with power. Power dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite. Power to do what? To be witnesses for me. To go out and to be bold. To use your mouths to go tell people about Jesus and proclaim the good news and invite them into the family. That's what the power's for. And it's a life lived, and it's a word spoken. And so as these tongues of fire are coming upon them, in verse 4 it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak through them, and they open their mouths, and they begin speaking in a language that they themselves don't understand. This is a huge act of faith, and it's a huge affront to the intellect. To start speaking in a language that you yourself don't understand, but to trust that somehow it has meaning to God and perhaps to other people around you. Huge act of faith. But as the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they've been waiting on the Lord, they've been continuing in prayer, seeking God, and God shows up and the Holy Spirit is sent and they begin to speak with other tongues. And notice what happens next in verse 5. It says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Remember that way back in 586, the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple and deported all the people that were there in Judah. A couple hundred years before that, or 150 maybe, the northern tribes of Israel were deported to Assyria. And so the majority of the Jews have been removed from the land at that time, and only a remnant of them came back 70 years later. Most of them stayed out there in the diaspora. And they just went to all these different places. They were found in Egypt and in Babylonia and all these different places. And so then for the feasts, they would come back to Jerusalem. So there were all these Jews who spoke all these different languages from all these different countries around the known world at that time. It says then that, verse 6, "And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes," which would be Gentiles who were converted to Judaism. Verse 11, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Oh, man. As these 120 disciples of Jesus begin just speaking out in tongues, a language that they themselves don't understand, they begin to speak in languages that are actual languages, and the people that are gathered there from all over the world hear them in their own language, declaring the wonderful works of God. And there's a lot going on here, and we're not here tonight to talk about every detail. There's so many wonderful, interesting things happening. But God was here giving these different languages to them for the nations, because what's he about to do? He's about to take them and say, "Hey, you guys aren't going to be inward anymore, you Jewish people. You're going to be outward. You're going to be even taking this gospel message to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish people, to the non-Hebrew speaking people. You're going to send it out to the whole world," you see? And so he's empowering them to do that, and he's empowering their mouths to go and to speak boldly, and it's awesome. Verse 12, "So they were all amazed and perplexed," as anybody would be, "saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?'" This is a sign, and it must mean something. And then it says, "Others mocking said, 'They are full of new wine.'" They're drunk. Well, at this point, Peter gets up and he delivers this wonderful sermon to them. And he explains to them, "No, we're not drunk. It's still the morning time." We always have our afterglows at night, but the very first baptism of the Holy Spirit came in the morning. And they, so Peter explains this and he gives the gospel message to them. But notice here how it says, some said, "Whatever could this mean?" Others just mocked. Those are the two kind of reactions you might get when you share the gospel. What does this mean? Tell me more. I want to learn more. This intrigues me. Or, "You're an idiot. You're nuts. What are you doing? You know, this is lame. Leave me alone and let me live my life," kind of thing. In 1 Corinthians 14, Isaiah is quoted about, a babbling tongue. And it's interesting because when you read through that section of scripture, then you go back into Isaiah and you look at this this reference to a babbling tongue. It's talking about foreigners invading the land and bringing judgment and bringing discipline. And you're like, how does that relate to the gift of tongues? Well, if you think about it, what's happening here on this day of Pentecost is heaven is invading earth. And man, this is the language of angels coming upon these people. And it is foreign to the dwellers of this earth. But God's coming in. And those who mock and reject, it's judgment. And it's a sign of judgment to them. And they will reject it. But to those who receive, it's a sign to, hey, I better repent. I better come to the Lord. This is of God. It's a sign. It's a sign. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 14:22, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. And I believe here, and this is just my view of it, there are many other views about this section of scripture, but I believe that's what God's saying, is this is a sign for unbelievers, and that when they hear someone speak in tongues, and it happens to be another language like we read right here, that's a sign. That is a sign. And the result of it is that the body of Christ is edified. It's built up. How? 3,000 people get saved because of it. They hear this happen. Peter preaches his sermon, and 3,000 people respond and get baptized right on that moment. I have to share this fun little tidbit, is that Pentecost is also traditionally the day that they commemorate the giving of the law. The law, the Ten Commandments. And on the day that the Ten Commandments were given, Moses, he came down and the people were partying. And he breaks the law, smashes the Ten Commandments. Do you know that 3,000 people died as a result of that? 3,000 people die from the law. And now we have the grace of God flooding. And 3,000 people get saved. Isn't that a cool little nugget? Oh, I love that. Now, modern days, does this ever happen in modern times? Well, honestly, I've never witnessed it personally, but I've heard stories, and let me just tell you a couple. If you've heard of Josh McDowell, he's a guy who was an atheist, decided to prove that Christianity was wrong, studied into it, and became a Christian. And he, in his younger years, used to travel the world and give the gospel. He was an evangelist. Well, he learned Spanish, and he took 2 months to learn it and practice it, and so he wasn't very fluent in it, as you can imagine. He spoke in broken Spanish, and then he went down to Bolivia to lecture in Spanish. He goes down to Bolivia, and he begins to share with this crowd of thousands of people. And he's speaking in broken Spanish, but every time someone challenged him, the Lord would give him an answer, and he would speak back. And he did this for 3 hours. And then afterwards, the director came to him and said, "That was crazy." He's like, "What?" He's like, "Well, you were speaking in broken Spanish, but then every time somebody challenged you and you had an answer, you spoke in perfect Spanish. The same dialect as these Bolivians." And then he would go back to speaking broken Spanish again. And he didn't even know it. Well, they told him that, and he thought, "Yeah, whatever." And he kind of blew it off. Well, then he goes to Chile, and he's again speaking to thousands, and he spoke in Spanish, and it came out in their perfect dialect. And they told him again. And then he's like, "Wow, there must be really something to this." And then he goes to Brazil. And in Brazil, they speak Portuguese. But he doesn't know Portuguese. So he's speaking in his broken Spanish. And it's coming out in Portuguese. They tell him later, "Wow, that's amazing. We didn't know you spoke Portuguese." He's like, "I don't speak Portuguese. I was just going Spanish. I was hoping everybody understood that." It came out as Portuguese. That's crazy. That's a modern day example of really this gifting that is a sign. And notice when God used it as he is evangelizing. And so to the unbelievers, it's a sign, and they either become believers or they reject the sign, and people do. You know, I used to live in Colorado, and I love to drive on the dirt roads and go for a drive in the mountains, and you come up on a sign and it says, no shooting, and it's riddled with bullet holes. Some people respect the sign. Other people reject the sign. And that's what happened here in the book of Acts. Some people accepted the sign. 3,000 people got saved. Others mocked, you see. So this was miraculous. One more story, and this is a famous one from Chuck Smith, and you can read about it in his book, Living Waters. But just a quick little summary of it. They were. It was a Sunday evening. It happened to be Pentecost, and there was a lady named Lynn who was there, and they were praying, and she received the gift of tongues that night. She began to speak in tongues. And Kay Smith, who has the gift of interpretation of tongues, which I'll talk about a little bit more in a bit, she began to interpret. Well, there was a lady that had come in, a Jewish lady, a non-Christian, and she knew French. And after it was finished and Chuck went over and said hi to this lady, she said, how is it that this lady is speaking in perfect French and this lady is giving the interpretation? Like, what's going on here? He said, well, would you believe it if I told you that neither one of them know French? She's like, no, I wouldn't. Well, he opened up the scriptures and showed her these scriptures and tongues as a sign. She got saved. Praise God. So these are some modern stories about how God is still doing these things today, here and there, and why he chooses to do them here and there and not here and there. It's God. He decides when it's needful. He decides who has the faith and who gets the gifting. But these things do happen. So that is one use of the gift of tongues for a sign. Now, another use for the gift of tongues is the tongue with an interpretation. And this is spoken of here in 1 Corinthians 12. It's mentioned. And it's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So there's a few scriptures I'm going to draw your attention to the screen for. 1 Corinthians 14:12, the Apostle Paul is speaking of these tongues. And he says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So that's the purpose of these gifts, is for the edification of the church. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So in a corporate setting, a corporate gathering of the church, if somebody has a tongue, it doesn't do us any good unless there's an interpretation that all of us can understand. And so that's what he's saying, is there should be an interpretation. So this tells us that, wow, there are tongues with interpretation of tongues. We just read in 1 Corinthians 12 here that some people have the gift of tongues and some have the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Now notice, an interpretation is not the same as a translation. So someone could have a single word in some language, you know, radadushk. I don't know, I just made that up. I don't know if that was from the Lord or not. But they might get this word, and then someone else might have an interpretation that is a sentence or two. An example of this is in the Old Testament. Remember the story where Belteshazzar is partying with all the cups and everything from the temple? And then a hand appeared and began writing on the wall. And he's like, whoa, and he freaks out and his knees are knocking together and it says his loins were loosed. He really got scared. And then they didn't know how to interpret this. They're like, what does this mean? And then Daniel comes in and says, oh, it's mini, mini, tekel, upharsin. And he says, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and tonight your life is required of you. Wait, that's just four words. How did you get all of that out of four words? And literally it means numbered, numbered, weighed, divide. Your kingdom will be divided. And so he took, the translation is different than the interpretation, you see? And so someone can have a short tongue, but a long interpretation of what that means.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you. To let us know how God has touched your life through this program or to submit a prayer request, simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.